The rain may have let up for now, but the Pacific Northwest is awash in floodwater. Washington Governor Jay Inslee declared a state of emergency Monday after days of heavy rain caused overflowing rivers and extensive mudslides. Randy Mason of Concrete Washington told local TV station Cairo that he had to use a dinghy to get home after flooding turned his house into an island.
You can't get to my house. There's water under my house. My house is lifted, but I can't get to it.
Officials closed off I-5 near Bellingham, Washington, in both directions overnight. Hundreds had to be rescued from highways in Washington and British Columbia, and tens of thousands remain without power. The weekend's relentless rains were due to an atmospheric river. It's a weather phenomenon that scientists say could become more common as the planet warms. And on that topic, at the UN summit in Scotland last week, the world's nations reaffirmed their pledge to curb greenhouse gas emissions to avoid the worst effects of climate change. However, a new report from the Washington Post suggests there's a major flaw in the system. Countries are underreporting how much they're polluting. Here to explain is Juliet Alperin. She's deputy editor overseeing climate and environmental coverage for the Post. Hi, Juliet.
Great to be here.
So you and your colleagues crunched the numbers and found a sizable gap between what countries say they're doing to cut emissions and what they're actually doing. How big is this gap?
It's quite large. On the low end, it would be at least 8.5 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions each year that are underreported, and at the high end, 13.3 billion tons a year. And to put that in perspective, it's larger than what the United States emits every year by a significant chunk. And at the high end, it's roughly equal to what China puts into the atmosphere each year in terms of its carbon dioxide and other gases.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so I mean, it's significant emissions here. I'm fascinated. How did your team kind of gather this information? Show your work a little bit here.
It was a lot of work. So what we did is that we spent months doing this, and essentially we took these reports that almost every country in the world, nearly 200 countries, submit to the United Nations. They're called nationally determined contributions. And what they do in these reports is they say, this is how much we're putting into the atmosphere in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, and this is what we're going to do about it to try to cut back. And so we have to go through all these reports. Most of them are in English. Some are in French Spanish or, you know, in rare cases, I think there might be a couple Portuguese in there. and we essentially created our own data set because there's not an easily accessible data set. And then after that, we actually fact checked it with about half a dozen scientists, where we went through and kind of looked at, explained our methodology, kicked the tires, revised it many times. We did all of this work so that we basically had an analysis that had scientific integrity and that we were confident in releasing to the world.
That is a lot of work. Were there certain countries that underreported the most?
Different countries underreport different things, and certainly there were ones that stood out to us in different ways. Australia, for example, which is obviously has tons of capacity to report accurately, they're doing practices that are allowed under the system but don't fully account for their greenhouse gas emissions. For example, while they talk about how much carbon is going into the air from wildfires, they don't count it towards their own emissions because they argue that it's impossible to tell how much is coming from human activity, although obviously there's ample evidence at this point that these mega fires are more intense and more frequent as a result of human-induced warming.
Mm-hmm. Any other countries kind of on your list worth mentioning?
I would say Malaysia is high up there. So Malaysia did a kind of unusual accounting, which suggests that their trees are absorbing carbon four times faster than similar forests in neighboring Indonesia. Then there are other countries that are not fully accounting for example, intense warming pollutants that come from refrigeration and air conditioning. There are a number of countries on this list, but certainly China, Vietnam are among the countries that do that. But even again, the European Union isn't fully accounting for some of its emissions as well. So it's a fairly pervasive problem.
Juliet, what did you and your colleagues find about the U.S. as far as any data questions?
We found that the United States, like other big countries, including China and Russia, are using the current UN rules to subtract more than 500 million tons of annual emissions each year by taking credit for what was happening with their land. And many scientists say that countries should only claim these greenhouse gas reductions when they take a clear action, whether it's planting trees or managing their forests in a particular way, as opposed to taking credit for natural forest regrowth or other things that would happen regardless of anything that the government was doing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I gather in many cases, this has to do with kind of climate subtraction. That is, a lot of countries put emissions into the atmosphere, and some of that is offset by their land, which we know absorbs emissions. Why is this kind of land question a main source of this problem?
It's a tremendous source of this problem. It, by our estimation, is more than half the problem with underreporting of greenhouse gas emissions in the world. And so what you have is, as you mentioned, you have these, it's allowed under UN rules to account for the fact that actions you're taking with your forests and your land are helping absorb carbon dioxide, because that is what trees and land do. But what we see is that countries are taking too much credit for what's happening, either because, frankly, this is happening even if they did nothing. It's just, it's obviously part of the natural system. But also, sometimes they are simply saying that they're, you know, that their forests are doing more than they are. And sometimes, to be honest, it's a little hard to tell whether they were doing this by mistake or not. For example, our data set shows that in 2010, land in the Central African Republic absorbed 1.8 billion tons of carbon dioxide, which would effectively offset the annual emissions of Russia. So there's all this sort of erroneous data in the system.
Yeah, and I guess the question is, you've talked a little bit about this, is does it seem to you and your team that this is evidence of active, intentional cheating on their homework? Or are there other explanations here?
I think it's a mix of things. There's certainly issues where it appears that this is an intended strategy to minimize the impact of a country's emissions. Really, every nation in the world, of course, has an incentive to say that they're taking action to curb greenhouse gas emissions. And so there are, for example, countries we've had extended back and forth with, Malaysia would be one of them, where, you know, we pointed out these issues, and also even some of their own scientists or other scientists have pointed to issues with how they're calculating this land sector, and they have not changed those numbers.
So finally, is there a fix out there? Is there a plan by the UN body that oversees these climate summits to improve transparency and reporting? I recall at one of these COP summits that I attended, the verification and monitoring was a big sticking point.
This is an ongoing debate within these UN climate talks. And interestingly, the United States, regardless of whether a Republican or a Democrat is in the White House, has pushed consistently for greater transparency, for more accountability, and stricter review of these reports to the UN. That said, while there's an effort underway to get greater transparency, that's a few years off. And so when we're looking at this being, as many people call it, the decisive decade, we might not get the kind of transparency many scientists and others are calling for till the middle of the decade, which in many ways could potentially be too late to get an accurate assessment of greenhouse gas emissions worldwide.
Juliet Eilprin, Deputy Editor overseeing climate and environmental coverage for The Washington Post. Juliet, thanks for the time.
Wonderful to talk to you, Scott.